Okay. Welcome, everybody. Are we ready, AGP? Good, thank you. All right. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's regular City Council meeting. It is Tuesday, June 10th, and we are here at the Veterans Memorial Hall at 209 Surf Street here in Moore Bay. We'll call the meeting to order, and for the record, all council members are present, and we do have a quorum. And George, would you like to lead us off in this moment of silence?
Yes. I imagine most of you have heard about Dan Riddell passing, and what a great guy he was in our community. I mean, he was involved in everything. And he was a person that was always out there to help you, no matter what. If you needed something, you could always count on Dan. And he was there to help not only the community, but he did things for the soldiers overseas. It was tremendous. He put a lot of effort into that. So, anyway, one of the best things I can ever say about a man is he was a good man. Boy, this guy, Dan, he was a good man. There's a lot of holes in people's hearts around here for losing him, and we're going to miss him. So, anyway, I think something is going to be done for him on the 20th. I don't know exactly what it is, but I imagine you'll hear about it. But here's a man that he's done this town a lot of justice, and we owed him a lot. So anyway, goodbye, Dan, and you were a good man.
And in his memory, if you'd all join us in a moment of silence. Thanks, George. Thanks, everyone. Mr. Crines, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now, Mr. Pannoni, for the closed session report.
Thank you, Mayor. There was one closed session item, and it was discussed, but there was no reportable action taken.
Okay. Thank you for that. And on to reports and announcements by council. And I'll start off with one. We are recruiting for a 7-member advisory board for our water reclamation facility technical advisory committee. Date to have all your applications in for that would be June 13th, this Friday. We'd encourage you to apply for that advisory board. Just wanted to throw out that announcement, and that's all I had for announcements.
So. The anniversary committee. We'll be doing two booths, one with historical photographs of California, and the other one with T-shirts and pins and things available, and maybe the boat. We're still looking for someone to paint that boat. So if you would like to paint a boat, stop by and look at it at the state park. Thank you.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you, and good evening, everyone. Just a couple quick announcements. One is with our Stereo Bay Community Radio, 97.3 FM, the all-volunteer, low-power FM radio. We did experience some technical difficulties last meeting for the council in that broadcast, and since have identified some challenges that we need to take care of if we'd like to do live broadcasts. So there's been an adjustment from the live council broadcast on 97.3 FM to a replay, which is scheduled for Friday at 9 a.m. So Fridays generally are our local talk radio segment on the local Estero Bay radio, and it'll fit in pretty nicely on Friday at 9 a.m. And if you'd like more information, you can go to esterobayradio.org or just tune in at 97.3 FM and hear about this meeting and a lot of other exciting things. And then the last announcement is just following up with Cal Poly and the work that students in the landscape architecture, urban design, and city and regional planning departments have done, focused on the power plant future and also Atascadero Road around the high school and the wastewater treatment plant. And they're putting together, with all of those different philosophies, an open house, drop-in casual event to take a look at all these exhibits that the students have generated over the last quarter. And that is going to be tomorrow, Wednesday, June 11th. And right now it's scheduled from 3 to 7 at the community center. Is that still a go? I'll give it to Mr. Livick if you want to.
Yeah, I think the students will be there at least until 5. And then some of them have other commitments at that point. But I think we'll still have some of the exhibits and the posters up in there until 7.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Noah. At this time, we do have a proclamation for tonight, and I just need consensus from council to pull item A8. It's a proclamation for Special Olympics that I'd like to present to Commander Brian Millard. If I can get consensus from the rest of council. And if we have that, then I would ask Commander Millar to meet me at the podium, and I'll present you the proclamation. All right. Well, we have a proclamation from the City Council of the City of Morro Bay, California, declaring June 2nd and June 3rd, 2014, as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Days. Whereas each year, law enforcement officers join together to run the Special Olympics torch throughout San Luis Obispo County, and whereas hundreds of thousands of law enforcement officers give their time to protect our community every day, and whereas hundreds of thousands of athletes participate in the Special Olympics activities annually, and whereas the efforts of countless volunteers make Special Olympics possible, and whereas on June 2nd and 3rd, 2014, law enforcement officers will carry the Special Olympics torch throughout San Luis Obispo County and send it on its way down to the University of Southern California to open the Special Olympics Southern California Summer Games. And whereas at this year's meet, many of our area's finest young people and adults will be competing in a variety of sports, enjoying the joy of athletic competition and learning the importance of doing one's best in the spirit of sportsmanship. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Morro Bay does hereby proclaim June 2nd and June 3rd, 2014, as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Runs Days, and acknowledges the hard work of the event organizers and congratulating the athletes and officers on their accomplishments. So thank you very much. This is your proclamation. If you'd please say a few words.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Brian Millard, Commander of Morro Bay Police. I wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you to my unnamed partner who stepped forward with me at the last moment at my request. Her name is Stephanie Hennessy Martin. She works in the Special Olympics office at SLO County. Along with the regional director, Jody Waddy, these are the hardworking core of Special Olympics fundraising in our county. They help us put on our Tip-A-Cop dinners each year and help us organize the torch run. I've been working with her for at least the past decade that I remember, and past that, I'm sure. So a wonderful organization, and it supports wonderful athletes. So I thank you for your support of this event, and we look forward to doing it for another decade or more to come. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for your work.
Some of which own their own stores. We do have some vendor space available, and we have local delivery for your convenience. We will be having our official ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday, June 27th at 5:15 in the evening. A social will follow with live music and refreshments, and we hope that you all come and help us celebrate our new store, and we're looking forward to being very active in the community. Oh, and we're open 7 days a week.
Okay, great. Did AGP, did you get a shot of that for our viewers? Their display up on the screen there? There you go. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Audrey, thanks very much for
Thank
your
you
presentation.
So much. We appreciate
Welcome.
It.
Congratulations. Thanks. All right, thanks very much. And with that, we'll bring it back to council, and we're moving on to public comment. This is public comment for items not on the agenda. You have 3 minutes. Please come forward. And if you do have, if there is an item that's on the agenda that you can't stay for and it's later in the evening, please come forward now. So welcome to public comment.
Hey, guys. Gary Hickson here. How you doing? That's what I look like with my sunglasses on. I wanted to say everybody's doing a really good job. I don't know if I can, you can hear this. You can probably hear it on TV. I think it's going to be a great 4th of July. I got my Gary Tyler Moore suit. The other one was really dirty and stained. I had to chuck it. It was like 4 years old. So I get a lot of use out of this Cinderella-looking outfit. The thing on YouTube, people are interested in, Gary, when are you going to upload Star Wars and other things? It's very difficult to get anybody to do it. They let me release Interspace under Warner Brothers, but Disney wouldn't allow me to release The Empire Strikes Back. It's in my video file, which is a better thing anyway. So just keep checking out Interspace and look for Firestarter and Return of the Jedi and 30-minute edits that I do. GAFCO is still there, the Harbor Hut. I go golfing sometimes. I surf. I do skateboarding. There's, like you said, there's a lot of people that, you know, have passed away over the years that I miss too and have really helped in this community. And we're still connected to Cayucas. And take my sunglasses. I do look like a government official when I take these glasses off, but I'm still at the Morby Coffee Company. For the record, I live at 761 Butte Avenue. I hope everybody has a great summer, and I do the best I can with these things, and that's my public comment. So everybody have a great summer. Thanks, George.
Thanks, Gary.
All right.
Public comment is open.
Gary Johnson, a resident of Morro Bay. I wanted to mention, because the icon of one of the icons of Morro Bay passed away last week, Dan Riddell. He's contributed so much to this community that on June 20th, which is only a couple weeks away, at 3:30 at the community center, is the memorial. I hope everybody shows up, because you cannot believe what this guy's done in our community since he's been here. So everybody, June 20th on a Friday, 3:30. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Any remarks from council? Seeing none, we'll go on to the consent agenda. At this time, we do have an opportunity to for public comment for any items on consent, for those of you who'd like to speak to anything on consent. Seeing none, I'll close public comment for consent. And does anybody have any items for consent that they would like to pull? Seeing none, I would take a motion to approve all items on consent agenda.
So
we need a second. So we have a motion by Nancy and a second by George. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. 5-0. And moving on to, we don't have any public hearing items tonight or unfinished business. We do have an unfinished business item, and that would be discussion and clarification of council policy regarding council support of the Morro Bay 50th celebration. And Mr. Kreins, maybe you can start us off with that.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, council meeting in May was a discussion with regard to the council support of the 50th anniversary celebration, and we had some discussion with members of the committee as to actually what the council approved, and that was with regard to any waivers for fees and insurance payments and that type of thing. So council member Nancy Johnson, the two council meetings ago, asked that the matter be brought back to the council for discussion and to clarify basically the council's support for the 50th anniversary and what the support actually is going to be from here on. So that's the item, and I defer to you or to Councilmember Johnson. So.
Okay, thanks very much. Nancy, can you help us with that at all?
I guess we'll have public comment in a moment, right? The two things that have come up was, one, the question of some insurance payments. The committee was charged $600 for the bike ride on the tour of the city park.
It covered both events and was previously paid for, so I think that if there was any billing, I don't think there was an additional billing. I think it was just a misunderstanding of what it actually covered as far as the payment. The second one, we had authorized Karen Moss to proceed on behalf of the city with the Yosemite to Morro Bay function because they had a deadline as to when they had to start that program. There was no outlay on as far as city funds were concerned, and she was fronting and the group was fronting any monies that would be expended for that event, but obviously it could be an appropriate matter to bring back to your committee, the 50th anniversary committee, and or the council, you know, for further direction as to what they'd like to see come out of that.
Okay, with that, unless there's questions for council, we can open up for public comment and proceed. Any council or any questions to the left or to the right? No? We can open up for public comment. Anybody who'd like to speak to this item may do so now. Public comment is open.
Good evening, everyone. Let's see if I can show that to wherever you're at, AGP. Good evening, everyone. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm working with the 50th Celebration Committee. That way? Thanks,
yeah,
Noah.
That's good.
With the 50th Celebration Committee on multiple events that are happening within our community this year. There are two scheduled bike rides, one that has already occurred, and then one that will be occurring in October, which is a bike ride of historic locations, buildings, trees, and et cetera, within our community limits. The Yosemite to Morro Bay Run, which we have just received 2 days ago, the first firm itinerary for that from Ms. Moss to the Tourism Bureau is something completely separate. I'd like to personally take this moment while I'm up here to thank Nancy Johnson and Christine Johnson, working not only in the spirit of the 50th and the community, but also working indeed for the 50th in the community. Their actions speak volumes for their support for the community, and I appreciate that from both the Ms. Johnsons. Also, I'd like to thank Ed Crines and Janine Burlingame and the staff in Recreation and Parks Department in Joe's absence and Joe for working diligently with this community group to celebrate the incorporation of Morro Bay 50 years ago. We invite everybody out to the community picnic that's coming up on July 17th. If you forget the date, just turn around and just remember, 4:30 at Morro Bay Park, commonly referred to as City Park. We appreciate your continued support and hope that we continue to have an open dialogue with the city. This is about the city, and any questions you have or any concerns you have, we'd be happy to hear them, happy to talk to you about them, and invite all of you to attend our next meeting on June 23rd at 4 p.m. in a location to be determined, usually at the community center. Thank you for your time, and I'll stick around in case you have any questions. I'm not far away.
Thank you, Joan. Anybody else for public comment at this time? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Nancy, any other discussion on this item that we could use to clarify where we're going on this?
I'm just still not clear on the insurance charges. That's my only question at this point, really, I think.
Well, I have to get to, as far as I know, I was told that the insurance was paid for both events already, and whether that was paid out of the money the council previously authorized to the 50th Anniversary Celebration Committee, I assume it was, but I can find out for you and just give you that information in regard to the insurance.
Thank you.
Any other comments to the left or to the right? Noah?
Yeah, I'd like to comment that I think we've, from the city's side, been very generous with city funds towards the celebration with the $15,000. And I know in the initial discussion there was a decision about, well, we can support via the events and waiving of fees and insurance and so forth, or the funds directly to the account of the 50th, and then they manage those and work in that way. So I feel like we need to be careful that we're not continually just expanding the realm of how much resources are being put into the 50th celebration. I think with the $15,000, it was beyond my comfort level initially, but we did that. And my feeling would be the event on the 17th is our birthday event. And for that, it does seem to make sense. Yeah, let's go beyond just the $15,000 and waive the cost of that event, because I expect there'll be very reasonable, but also because it is the birthday event. And for the rest, I'd assume that the 50th, outside of, you know, the very common things and things that make sense, but the larger insurance
particular event. So that was my understanding, was because it was the city's birthday directly on that day, it didn't really make sense to have the event.
Excuse me.
We just clarify that. I think maybe that's where the confusion sort of started, so we could kind of clarify that.
That fee was waived. It was, I believe, $117, which the insurance for just the picnic and the Founders Day celebration. The other fee, though, was required because there's more to it involved than just the 50th anniversary celebration, because there are other people that are involved in the bike rides, which are above and beyond. In fact, I think Joan mentioned it's, you know, in October that there's a bike ride that is beyond just the 50th anniversary celebration. So the insurance was required, and it's a council policy whether you think it should come out of the $15,000 or not, but I believe it would come out of the $15,000 that the council previously authorized, unless you change your mind and decide to waive it.
We have to have the insurance
because there is a liability to the city.
Right, and I think that my understanding, just in discussions from the folks on the larger 50th committee, is everyone understands and knows that the insurance is needed. So I don't think it's a question of whether we have it or not, but certainly who was going to pay for it. So I think if that's the question, if we're going to, aside from Founders Day, which it sounds to me like that those fees for the liability insurance will not be charged back to the Morro Bay 50th committee. So if we take that as a little extra cash going back to the overall 50th, I think the question for the council tonight sounds to me like, are we comfortable having the $15,000 that was given initially? Are we comfortable with having the liability insurance coming out of that budget? Or do we want to make some different decision tonight? And then I think if we could talk about that and clarify that, because I know the committee has questions about that, and I think we should clarify that for them, and then we can take perhaps the Summit to the Sea discussion after.
Okay. Nancy, do you have any more comments on that? None? Okay. So the insurance, we're covered with insurance, but you want to get closure on how that is for the Founders Day is what you're...
It sounds to me like, listening to what Nancy had said, she had two questions for bringing this item back, and the first one was insurance payment. So yes or no, is the city going to cover insurance for liability? And it sounds to me like for Mr. Krein's discussion, he said, well, you know, they thought it made sense from a staff point of view to cover the $117 of liability insurance necessary for Founders Day, but that the same waiver wasn't made for the other events. So I think the discussion here tonight that the 50th committee is asking through Nancy putting this on the agenda is the council comfortable with allowing that one-time liability waiver for Founders Day, or does the council want the city to pay for, in addition to the $15,000, all the other liability insurances coming forward, and I guess, you know, retroactive of the May bike ride? That seems to me to be the question.
Okay.
I'm kind of phrasing the question and looking for...
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. Mr. Krein, you had some follow-up?
Yeah, I think the one reason it came up, and I think, you know, I'm not speaking for Councilmember Johnson, but I think the one reason that Nancy Johnson brought up the item in the first place is that the resolution that the council originally adopted was somewhat nebulous. I mean, it really was vague in terms of, it just says, well, $15,000 in other support, but it didn't really identify what other support meant. I think that's, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's one of the reasons there was a concern about what does other support really mean. And frankly, we made the determination, because it was the birthday celebration of the community, to waive the fee just for that particular event.
Okay.
The $117.
All right. Thanks. Any other follow-up? Nancy?
Just one question. So then... the committee is in the process of planning what could be a major parade on September 6th, I think it is, an historical parade. Morro Bay, the Historical Society is involved as well as the 50th. So will those fees for that parade, any road closures and traffic and insurance and all of that be paid out of the $15,000?
It's not my determination. I don't know what the $15,000, because it was done before I came here, but it would, I don't know what it was for. So it's a council determination. If you want to pay, obviously that's going to require insurance as well. If you're going to have a parade in the community because there's people involved with floats or whatever you may have, and so there's a liability issue. But it's a council determination as to whether you want to waive fees as a council for that particular event as well or any other events. So I don't know what the $15,000 is for.
Yeah, it just might be a good idea to clarify that before the committee gets too much further into, you know, the final proclamation, et cetera. It says may consider, and it just doesn't say, and that's all I want to know, is where we are on this.
So maybe we can ask Joan real quick as far as the budget.
Well, before we do that, why don't we read what we said we would do? It's right here.
Okay.
So this is the key portion. We said we would support it and say, yes, it's the official year. I mean, it's in the staff report for people following along. But I think the crux of it is, whereas, and it's page 94 in the staff report, whereas the City Council will also be considering additional support to these efforts, including the potential of fee waivers, funding of events, and or the use of other city resources to help the city's 50th anniversary celebration committee as it plans and schedules these community enhancement and enrichment programs and events. So that's what we said we would do. So it's not, so we say fee waivers, does that mean insurance? Or does it mean you don't have to pay to use the park? That's where it is, not spelled out.
Yeah. Thanks for the clarification. Joan, would you mind speaking to the budget and where you're going on that?
Good evening. Thank you for asking that question. It's an interesting question. We have a financial review coming up at the end of this week, and we're prepping for our meeting on the 23rd. The chamber is handling all finances, so they are handled by a neutral third party. They're not handled by any one individual in the community, just so you're aware of how that goes. We did pay $600 in insurance fees for a co-sponsored bike ride. In terms of co-sponsorship, what that means is that we partnered with the Recreation and Parks Department. We did a bike ride of our community parks on the same time they ran a trolley, their annual Recreation and Parks Commissioners Park Tour on the same day, and trolley rides were available free to folks who wanted to participate. The Morro Bay 50th did pay the insurance on that. At one point it did, I believe, and I would need to look back for full clarity, but I believe that there was some conversation that bounced back and forth regarding where that would end up. And finally, I just said, we need to move forward. So let's go ahead and get a check moving forward so that we can keep the wheels turning and get these bikes and the trolley on the road. So that was how that transpired. In terms of the Founders Day picnic, we're moving forward with that, and I believe a full, you know, we're getting to the point where we're going to have a full slate of how that event works. We actually met today and put a beautiful timetable together, a schedule of events. Come on out, community. It's going to be fun. Bring your picnic basket. Had to throw that in. And we will be further down the path to towards insurance within the next couple of weeks. Now, if we need to seek insurance, I certainly need to know that right away. If we're not seeking the insurance and the insurance is going to be sought on behalf of the city, that's fine too. I just need to have the clarity. Additionally, coming up in the fall, on Saturday the 6th of September, is the Founders Day Historical Community Parade, which is highlighting dahlias and cypress, our community trees. We're in the process of working through a grand marshal, which should come forward post-haste, I hope. And that, obviously, that would take place on our city streets and would require insurance. So that is the other large thing that we have occurring. The Summit to the Sea event, again, that Mr. Crines referred to, is subsequent or secondary, and I'm not sure how the city is involved in that. I received my first official draft of what was going to occur just 2 days ago, so I'm not sure about any of that yet. I haven't had time to meet with them.
Okay.
No meeting has been set. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. So really, this kind of comes down to there was some insurance charge for the trolley thing, but there was an insurance charge for the Founders Day, and we just want to know whether or not there's going to be insurance charges for the rest of these events because we got some ambiguity here and we didn't know who was charging what. And so, but that shouldn't stop you from proceeding. You just want to have clarity. Okay. And we should be able to, in my opinion, we should be able to just move on with this and not have to worry about the insurance. But, you know, how many events more do you have on this, Nancy? You just named three more events that...
Three more. Not really three more. There's the Founders Day, which is the 17th. There's another bike ride, I believe it's in October, and that's of historical sites. It's somehow...
We have had a couple of items that we've been using as a fundraiser, such as T-shirts and whatnot. Please remember that the balance is split to support the 50th in terms of anything that we make, and the other 50%, it's split 50-50. 50% goes back towards the 50th to enhance the programs of the 50th. The other 50% goes towards what the community wanted, which was to attempt to get the funding to complete the statue out at Target Rock, which is, for those who wait, the Central Coast Women for Fisheries statue. So that's how those proceeds are split. I can give you a general fund balance number, but that's not going to tell you line item where those things lie and what percentage of the funding is Central Coast Women for Fisheries. So it's roughly in the $18,000 to $20,000 range. And I will have clarity on that. On Thursday, there have been some, invoices that have come in, and there's also been some deposits made. So where that exactly plays out, I'll have clarity coming up soon this week. Does that help?
Yeah, thanks.
So I'll just finish my comments by saying that I think we've been generous with our support of the 50th. The events on the birthday, to me, makes perfect sense to waive those fees. But going forward, we have so many other things that were being requested for with funding and so forth. I don't think it's prudent for us to continue outlaying beyond that initial
$15,000. Thanks. No, I was going to respond that I guess it was prompted by one event being funded but not the other, and maybe there's some ambiguity there, but I think the exception was, you know, it was at City Park, it was the city event. I considering there's three or four more events, it seems like it'd be easier just to move on than have this come to a council meeting and discuss where we're going on this myself. I think we, you know, the 50th can move forward on, you know, absorbing any of the insurance fees, and the city is going to participate by any potential fee waivers, permit waivers and things like that. I think that's what it spells out in the resolution, and that's what we're in for. Those are my comments.
Amen to that.
Okay. Christine?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll just, if that's clarity for the committee, and Nancy's the representative to the committee, so if she has clarity on that, then I'm sure.
Okay.
Well, can I ask Mr. Kreins if that's clear to him? Because I think the goal is to avoid this coming back to the council again. So the city manager will be implementing the decisions from here on out, hopefully, and this will settle it. So is that clear to you?
It's clear to me. I was the one that implemented the decision in the first place. So, but I'm still a little vague about fee waivers and that type of thing. But, you know, I think it's something we can work out at the staff level. I don't think the council really has to, at this point, be involved.
You know, if you need to elaborate on waiving some fees, if there's, you know, do we need to talk about that, or are you?
I don't think you need to. Okay. I think it's something that you can do at our level, and we'll try to handle it.
I think we can
do whatever's
too.
Fair for the committee.
That'd be great. Okay. All right. Thanks for that. And then this Summit to Sea. We want to get some closure on that as well. Want to have that discussion real quick? The Summit to Sea proposal.
I don't really think there's much. Whoops. I don't really think there's anything for council to discuss on this. There were a couple of things in the proposal that the committee itself really can't do, like a dinner when they get here. But I think we'll just deal with the proposer and work it out, and I don't see it as an issue.
Okay. It's not really a council decision now.
No,
money's
yeah.
being fronted, and I don't think it's any decision of the council.
Right.
At this
we
point.
Have no money in this
no,
at all.
No
so.
Money at all.
Good. We have closure on that.
Please, no okay. more dinners.
All right. Great. So we don't need any motion or anything like that. We just we got clarification on that. Thank you. So with that, we'll move on. We have item C2, which is our budget, but considering the hour, I was wondering if maybe we can skip over that and run through some of these other items first, because I think we can get through the rest of these. So we have
D1 and D2?
D1 and D2, so Resolution 3714, the approval of California Energy Commission 1% loan for an application for $562 to complete energy-efficient HVAC upgrades and energy generation projects. If council is, okay with that, we can move on to item D1 and D2 and then come back to the budget item?
Yes.
We're
yep.
good on that? Okay,
yes.
Good. Let's move on to item D2, and I'll reread that one more time. The subject is Resolution 3714, approving submittal of the California Energy Commission 1% loan application for up to $562,000.
My recommendation is that you authorize staff to go ahead and submit the loan application, because you're not committing any funds at this time, other than go ahead and see if we can get the loan in the first place. So, and a 1% loan over a 16-year period, I think, is a pretty good loan.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Kreins, to the left, to the right? I have a couple questions, because I know we did have Siemens give us a proposal on a similar program, and I just thought that might be good for discussion, whether it's for council or the viewing audience. And the comparison for them was that, and you can help me on this, it wasn't necessarily they were doing the complete installation, and we would see the savings. They would basically do the whole city based on their evaluation. The comparison is, if we're doing this arrangement, we're kind of picking and choosing year by year on we're doing this. Siemens seemed to be, think that, hey, we do the complete evaluation, we come in and we do the whole city at once. And this one, if I understand this correctly, that we'll apply for a loan, and then each year, just like we do on our budget, we'll go through some sort of capital program and assess that we're going to address so many of these upgrades, energy efficient upgrades. Is that accurate? And then the payment difference.
Well, on this particular loan, it's my understanding, we can pretty well do what has to be done as far as upgrading all of the air conditioning systems that we have and install the solar panels that would begin to save us some funds. The problem that I have with Siemens is that Siemens is a 10-year program, and it runs about 6-8%. Where Siemens, frankly, is going to make their money is on installing new water meters. And I think the biggest savings is going to come from water meters, and we can have the water meters installed by PG&E, as I understand it. Mr. Leivick can correct me, but I think the water meters can – PG&E would install the water meters if there were new water meters installed?
Actually, we would install new – it's for automatic meter reading, so AMR meter reading. Right now we have mechanical meters. They're a mechanical device. They wear out. They under-register water going through it. The cost savings is through the capture of basically all the water costs. So instead of people with older meters get a little bit of water for free, well, with new AMR meters, they would be billed for every drop of water that goes through the meter. So that's where the cost savings come through. And quite frankly, Siemens was using that to sell us on the HVAC upgrades. They were using cost savings through that program or income generation through that program to help offset some of the costs from the HVAC units, from what I remember of the program.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Additionally, I think that as far as the project management, I met with Mr. Wilcox and talked to him. He has no qualms whatsoever in terms of his ability to manage this project and to do this. He said it's really not that difficult a project for him to do. He was a project manager before he came here for 10 years, and so I think he has ample experience that's necessary for the city to do this. And I think just the difference in a 3% loan that we didn't get versus a 1% loan you probably will get, because the Energy Commission is very enthusiastic about and they know about our anticipated proposal if the council authorizes to go ahead with it. So I really think that it's more effective for the city of Morro Bay to go ahead with this particular plan and then ultimately consider how we're going to change out the meters, the water meters as well, as far as the ultimate savings.
Okay. Just for an education component on this, the automatic meter reading, is there not the ability to, if there's suddenly a high flow going through there, that it can alert the resident that perhaps that's abnormal and then we need to go out there and see if there's a water leak or a break or something like that?
Yeah, that's one of the really good advantages of it. People can set up alerts to either get an email or a text message if they have extremely high water usage so that they can get to that leak rather than getting that $500 bill at the end of the month and then discovering that all that water has gone through the meter.
Yeah, I've experienced that once, so that'd be kind of good to have. Okay, if there's no other questions, then I'd open up for public comment.
Actually, I just had one question. With us managing the loan, one of the benefits I would assume is that we have the ability to direct some of this work towards local contractors as well if it fits and it's competitive. Am I right on that?
I don't know how Mr. Wilcox would plan on doing this without outside contractors, but maybe Rob can address that as far as who would actually do the work.
It probably would be contracted out, and we do have a local vendor preference section in our code that gives a 5% advantage to those folks that live within or have a business within a certain radius of that. So I think it's 5 miles of the city limits.
See, as an amazing program for us, it's going to be self-funding basically through the savings, and I really like the idea of being able to utilize local contractors as much as possible to install the panels and do some of the HVAC work and so forth. So this is, to me, just excellent work on our staff's part, and I'm looking forward to seeing it being implemented.
Good comments, Noah. I agree. George?
No comments.
Christine?
No, yeah, fully supportive. Just hope we get the money and hope it comes through. So
yeah.
Good luck, and then thank you.
Yeah, I think we have agreement from the council, and yeah, great comments, Noah. And didn't participate in the PWAB workshop on that or meeting, but did sit in on the presentation at the city, you know, here at the city with Mr. Livick and Mr. Crines, and you know, it was easy to see the savings potential, and so obviously this has got a little bit more savings to it, and everything that works on this seems very productive and positive. So thanks. With that, I would take a motion to support staff recommendation to pass Resolution 3714, authorizing staff to submit an application for a low-interest loan from California Energy Commission Program Opportunity Notice P0N-13-401 to further the city's advancements in improvement energy efficiency and carbon footprint reduction.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Noah, a second by Nancy. Any discussion?
None.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Great. Thank you. Now moving on to item D2. D2 is appointment of voting delegate to California Joint Powers Insurance Authority. Mr. Crines.
Yeah, this is a matter that requires authorization on the part of the council to select your delegates that can vote. The reason is before the council now, and one reason that I had originally recommended that the mayor and the city manager be two, along with the risk manager, Dana Swanson. This meeting will occur, the first meeting will occur before, unless you get rid of me sooner, will occur before I leave the city of Morro Bay. The reason my name is in there, and then you can easily substitute whoever the new city manager is when it's appropriate to do so. But at least now you have voting delegates in the mayor and in Mrs. Swanson and myself. So one of us obviously should be available for the meetings.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Kreins? Seeing none, I'd open it up for public comment for those who'd like to speak to this item. Pretty quiet tonight. We'll close public comment and bring it back to council for discussion. Pretty routine, something we do every year. And, you know, unless there's any other comments on the lineup here?
No, I'd be willing to move approval.
Okay, we have a motion to move approval. So we have Christine and George going on this side. Motion by Christine, the second by George. Good job. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. If we could just take a five-minute recess before we go into item C2, that would be the proposed fiscal year 2014-15 budget. Can we just take a quick five-minute recess? We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks very much, folks.
Martin?
Not much. I've answered all the questions today that they had, but then...
Okay, we're just... Here we go. Okay. Thanks, AGP, and thanks for the recess, everyone. We're back, and we are on unfinished business. We switched up the flow of things, and we've got through the agenda. We're now back to item C2, which is additional discussions and direction for the proposed fiscal year 2014 and 15 budget. We had our budget workshop here a week ago, Tuesday, and Thursday, pardon
Thursday
me.
The 5th.
It was just a few days ago. All these days are running together. And here we are back at the council meeting, and we have the opportunity to have any more discussion from Thursday and make any more comments in that for our budget. I'll go ahead and start us off on this and just kind of bring some of my comments from our last meeting and see where we go from there. I made a couple comments at the last budget workshop, and I'm just going to revisit some of those just more for thought and how we proceed. I'm going to start out with our general fund emergency reserve. And so in this budget, we have approximately $2.9 million, which is our 27.5%. I just brought to the attention that we had approximately 30,000 at the end of this need to maintain the percentage, in my opinion. So I think I'm just kind of laying some conversation and groundwork on this general the emergency reserve. I think we could probably look towards a different option on that, and that would be a further discussion for council whether or not we wanted to agendize something on budget policy or this particular policy, but perhaps the management partners, the city assessment would be one way to do that. But I think it's worthwhile in reviewing our emergency reserve, and certainly we can do that throughout the year. So those are my comments for the general fund emergency reserve. Also, I did have some conversations with Mr. Kreins and Ms. Slayton on our risk management fund, and just wanted to talk about that and get some clarity on that as well. Basically, our risk management fund, you know, I've had a lot of conversations on this because whether or not we have reserve, whether it's a fund, and just wanted to get some clarity for our audience and probably and for council as well. With our budget, we have left in our risk management fund $691,000 and change. And per our policy, we're required to maintain $500,000 as a bare minimum. And the purposes of that, and Ms. Slayton, I might ask, or Mr. Kreins, you know, some more descriptions on that. But the risk management fund funds our payment to our California Joint Powers Insurance Authority. So we collect funds from all the departments that we have approximately $1 million budgeted to make our CJPIA payment this year. What we have left over from that fund is approximately $691,000, of which if we maintain our $500,000 requirement per our policy, we would have $191,000 to work with. So those are things that we would, you know, are open for discussion as far as items that or requests that we had at our previous meeting, be it the T-bid or the chamber, et cetera. So I just wanted to bring that up. But Mr. Crines, if you don't mind, I'd just pose a question to Ms. Slayton on some clarity on the risk management and basically that the accuracy of that, my explanation. So basically that risk management fund is going to pay our CJPIA payment. We have approximately $691,000 left over. And the idea behind the $500 requirement is to for land use litigation and or employment litigation, and maybe either one of you, anyone can jump in on that.
Well, Susan can go ahead and answer. Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Irons and council members. Yes, you are correct. The $500,000 minimum was set as a minimum balance to keep in there. When we did it initially, we felt that it was a generous balance, but we thought that we needed to pick a target number, and so we picked $500,000 because we had almost $2 million in the fund. So we thought that was fair. And it's been available for uses, and it's been a good balance. I don't know if it's an accurate number, but it's the number we picked.
Okay, and as in past practice, council has had the opportunity at every budget hearing to allocate those additional funds as they see fit. As they agree to is the way it's worked out.
That's correct.
Okay. And I Mr. Pannoni, pardon me, I didn't get to ask you this ahead of the meeting, but if your experience on risk management for having $500,000 in there for land use litigation and or employee litigation, is there, you have any sense on that number?
There's really not a rule of thumb because the experience of every city is different terms of how active they are in doing things, how active people that don't like what they're doing are because of what they do. So, it's a dartboard.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough. At that point, I just want to have some general discussion on that because maybe it's probably been more my discussion for anybody else, but I did want to clarify the risk management fund. And then I wanted to speak to the capital part of the budget and looking at what we have available and what we're programming, and I just wanted to speak to that. I had some items that I wanted, and I get that's all the materials, the mat, and everything is taken. Okay, then I would just ask that council entertain the Del Mar parking lot and pathway, the unmet bike needs, and the one other that I discussed with Mr. Livick, and I don't know if this is the appropriate spot for it, but basically we have a pavement management plan and the idea of including a sidewalk assessment in that pavement management plan that doesn't necessarily need to go to the capital side of things, but maybe you can elaborate on that.
Well, I think it is appropriate to add those major as we move forward into the next year with our pavement management plan update and include sidewalks in that update. We'll have detailed costs, but to roll those into the capital budget so that we can see where those expenditures are proposed to go to, and council can, react to that also. So I think it is appropriate to include those sidewalk improvements, the gap closures, and
the lifting.
Major repairs
into
our capital budget.
Okay. And, I say that having looked at the budget, we discussed, we do have park in lieu fees that can be used for capital projects. We do have the government impact fees that can cover some of the parking lot and pathways. And without getting into the numbers, it seems like we do have those funds available to cover those and the unmet bike needs. There's things for the list that we discussed. So with with that, if I could get council support on that, and we can go into other discussions within this budget. So, but just for sake of clarity, you know, would anybody want to comment on my input on the four items that I just listed? George? Christine?
Sure, thanks. I have three items that you discussed. I have the General Fund Emergency Reserve, Risk Management Fund, and then capital. And then under capital, I had the Delmar parking lot and pathway, the unmet bike needs, and then the sidewalk assessment. Did I miss something?
Yeah, I think the for the capital projects, I was just highlighting the Delmar Tidelands is taking care of the unmet
right.
bike needs and the sidewalk assessment for pavement management plans as to get consensus to include in this the capital budget.
Okay, so but I heard your discussion so far. You said four items, but I only took notes for three.
Yeah, I did identify Tidelands, but that...
Oh, Tidelands. I'm sorry, I took that off.
Ms.
Yeah,
Layton,
gotcha.
Ms. Layton said
okay.
that's
so I see it as three big items. So
three
I see
items.
First you mentioned, okay, the general fund emergency, and then the risk management, and now we're on the capital part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supportive if response from staff is that, I mean, Mr. Levick already and Ms. Layton tuned us in a few things, but if they're in agreement that this makes sense to shift those into the capital part of the budget, then I'm in agreement with that. My one question is, I thought we were going to get some of the Delmar pathway done this year. I thought we had said we might be doing a little bit of that this year, Mr. Levick.
We included that in our unmet bike needs list for that pathway between the two parking lots. I don't know whether the physical work will actually, you know, happen before the end of the year or not. But I think those things still need to be carried over into the budget so we have a place to track those because they'll be fairly significant. Some of them wouldn't classify as, if you look to Ms. Slayton's definition of what a capital item is, because we're not getting something new, but they are major public works capital projects, I'll put it that way, not a finance definition of a capital project.
Okay. Well, if you guys can agree to the definition and put it in that space, then I'm in agreement. My one question would be for staff then. So if we have these three projects, then the funds would be coming from perhaps park in lieu for some of the park items, perhaps government impact fee. And I guess, Mayor, are we just looking for that our discussion here to then be reflected in the budget that we see again on June 24th?
Yes. Yes. And just to be clear, I mean, the reason we can, you know, to bring these up is, you know, we've identified that we have park and lieu fees that we haven't expended. And, you know, I think maybe it was just through this budget cycle we were saying, hey, absolutely, we can use this to for capital projects in our parks. And obviously Del Mar is one, that, as we mentioned, that could use some of that work. So, you know, in light of that, in light of the unmet bike needs, we have, you know, government impact fees that have been in the budget for a while that we really haven't used to the point that it's not being used frivolously, but, you know, there are limited ways we can actually use those funds, and these are viable options that we can use them for. So those are the reasons I was in the Coastal Trail, whether or not that's appropriate to use that on the Coastal Trail, which would be the bridge. And, you know, considering, you know, we want to, you know, have that completely funded for everything, which at this point we do, just wanted to use that to identify that as a source. Mr. Levick, you might be able to comment on that.
Yes. It's probably makes sense to use those restricted funds
yeah.
on projects that are available for to free up the unrestricted funds for more of the maintenance type projects. So for example, we have a request for Measure Q funds for the bridge. If we could free up those funds that can be used for projects that those restricted funds can't be used for, like street maintenance, you know, we could free up, we have a component of LTF, local transit funds on the bridge. Look, it's in excess of what it costs us to run our transit program. Those funds can be used for local street maintenance if we don't use it for the transit program. So we could substitute restricted funds that the city has and free that money up to do street maintenance work with. And I only wish we would have thought about it sooner, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, good. At least we're having the discussion now.
And no? If I could just confirm, I believe that's the conclusion we came to at the first budget hearing. That's our direction?
Right.
Great, thanks.
Okay, good. Thanks. Those are my comments for now. Does anybody else have any other comments? And then we need to open it up for public comment as well. Anything to my left, to my right, any other comments or getting this?
I just had one question. It's not directly related, but I guess it is. It's related to the street sweeper. Get a lot of input about that. And I know, Mr. Lavick, you've been working with the Regional Water Board on the requirements that they have regarding the street sweeper and the stormwater runoff program. But any chance that we could see an adjustment for this budget cycle or at some point?
Potentially a minor reduction in street sweeping. The regional board, we had in our permit that we had to street sweep all of our residential streets in a certain frequency, whether it made sense or not to sweep them. And the streets without edge improvements, curb and gutter, the street sweeper would tear up the edges of the road. Once we were actually able to show that multiple times to our permit writers at the regional board, they finally agreed to remove that from our permit. So now they didn't want us to remove it completely from the permit, so we have to do that once a year. So we'll only be tearing up those streets once a year instead of once a month. But we still need to keep all streets in there with a minimum of once a year of sweeping because there's no backsliding allowed in that permit. Maybe I'm being a bit cynical, but...
Well, that's actually good news because we weren't sure the Water Board was going to consent to that adjustment, and I assume that we still retain a more frequent schedule in the business districts.
Yeah, where it makes sense. Where we have curb and gutter, the point of the street sweeping is to keep the silt and sediment out of the storm drain system. And the only place we have a real storm drain system is where we have curb and gutter. So it does make sense to do street sweeping where we have curb and gutter, downtown, the more developed areas. As we get out into the residential areas without curb gutter and sidewalk, it doesn't make sense to street sweep as much.
Okay, unless there's one no more. Other, okay.
I just have one more question
sure.
About the funds before we open it up. So when I look, I understand the value of, and I think it's a smart way to look at the budget overall, is the more restrictive funds, if we can spend them in responsible ways now and it frees up, especially when we're looking at Measure Q, and especially when we have so much road work to do. So I'm wondering, we also have a special safety grants fund that we don't or not. It's $50,000 right now, and I don't see any requests yet, but I'm wondering what comes out of there, and is there any way to shift public safety items into that one?
Unfortunately, that fund, there's a timing difference with our fiscal year and the timing of the money that they receive. And so at the end of 2012, 2013, it shows a $50,000 fund balance. That balance was spent at the beginning of 2013-14. So by the end of, September, October, that $50,000 was spent. Now they've been receiving the money for the next grant, which is another $100,000 for 13-14, and that money's been programmed. So that's not a viable pot of money to use. It's unfortunate that in the budget presentation shows 13-14 and
that have been funded by that last year, and these are the things that are going out for funding this year, so that we know then what needs are being met by this fund.
We can do that.
Okay, that'd be great. So we're not going to be able to put Zello in here for this year.
I would say that would not that would work.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for that. At this point, we can open it up for public comment for those who'd like to speak to our fiscal year 2014-15 budget. You may do so now. Please come forward. And we're having a pretty quiet audience tonight, so no public comment. Oh, that got them going. There we go.
You wait for me. Hi, John Heading, Mr. Mayor, and council people. Good to be with you tonight. Let me bring forward the concept of prioritization. rather than possibly at the end or the beginning of the end of the budget cycle and not knowing where the previous fiscal year ends up, going through a process of prioritizing the projects that are the most important to the city, those that might bring the best in terms of economic return on investment, might give you a good sense of the total dollar spend that might be necessary, and you would already have prioritized those that would give you the largest return on investment or that are absolutely necessary, realizing that there are funds that are going to have to be spent for emergencies. There are benchmark data resources that you can look at, and the ranges of what various entities recommend in terms of the general fund and or what I call money in the bank range anywhere from 10% to 100% depending upon city size. And so I think you can probably find whatever answer you want. But I think it's really important to prioritize, if you could, possibly from a capital standpoint, the known projects that you're going to do, and then start from the top and then move down and use that at least as a guideline, and then have a point of no return where you say, absolutely, we will not spend more than this, reserving monies for emergencies. Just again, looking at the overall process, there is no absolute number, I think, for what you need in a general fund. And the end of the year dollars, I think, are extremely important in terms of knowing where you're starting from. So thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Heading. With that, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Nancy, do you want to start us off with any other comments? No? Noah?
I just want to point out that we do have a pretty strong prioritization effort going on in two of our higher profile areas, and the main one is our pavement management plan. That was exactly a prioritization effort to help us focus and be efficient with the funding that we do have and strategic in the investments there. So I think that's important to keep in mind, and I believe that we've structured this budget around those items and others that have been identified by our staff as key needs. So I'm feeling good about the direction we're going in, and particularly happy about the amount of funding that is going to go into streets based on our prioritization of that being one of our key needs and areas of concern based on our goals. So I'm looking forward to the hearing on the 24th, and those are my comments.
Thank you. George? Christine?
Yes, thank you. One question about the item, the general fund emergency reserve. So am I understanding that you are suggesting us just to think about a dollar figure versus the percentage? I mean, and you're actually, I think you're just bringing it up for us to consider, just think about it, and you're actually saying this would be something that if we are committed to management partners review, this would be something we want to remember to have them focus on.
I don't think it's something for this budget workshop or this meeting to do anything
tonight.
I just it was strictly for information. I know Mr. Krines, provided us some thought on that as well, and I think it's well received. I think there is some merit to reviewing that and thinking that, and quite frankly, every budget there may be an opportunity to do that, and I've got some comments, some additional comments in that area as well.
Okay, so that's just a point of thought for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
But did you mention keeping a dollar figure versus the dollar figure or percentage setup that we have now?
Yes.
Okay. So that's for the general fund emergency reserve. That's we have at 27.5% or $2,750,000, whichever is greater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second point of clarification, I wanted to ask again to talk about just briefly, we'll have it budgeted for next year.
Correct.
Okay, so the $135,000 that is coming from that fund to go into operations is part of what's truly an unappropriated fund.
That's correct.
Okay, so it is not coming from the risk management reserve.
No, it's not.
Okay. So in past years, there's been an unappropriated amount, and that's what we're looking at this year, same as in the past.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
except for?
It's a matter of semantics. The only thing I would correct is that it is coming from the reserve being anything over the $500,000. So when you appropriate, it is unappropriated funds, so you have any money over the $500,000, It's probably inappropriate to even call a reserve because the whole thing is a fund. I mean, it's the risk management fund. The council has opted to have $500,000 as the minimum, which you have. Staff for years has always called anything over the $500,000 reserve. So anything that you take over the $500,000 is really from the reserve. It's not from the fund. So the fund stays static at $500,000 all the time. And many times, as Ms. Slayton said, it's been as high as $2 million.
Okay, so in essence, the fund is a reserve. And I know it's...
Well, you can call it a reserve. It's not really a reserve. It's a fund. I mean,
it's a fund. But the fund doesn't
have... It's a risk management fund. Right, and the council has opted to take money over and above $500,000, which you consider as reserve, then to appropriate, in this case, $135,000 that we've already put in the budget, anything you may put in the budget on the 24th of June. Over and above the $500,000 that you want to use from risk management. So it's a matter of semantics. It's all one fund. The money's all in one place.
Right. I understand. Oh, I understand. Yeah, but I think it took time for me to
if there's people watching to understand what the reserve fund is, I think it's important they understand what it is.
Yes. So there's no risk to the city for transferring from that fund the $135,000.
No, it doesn't jeopardize the city at all.
As long as we know where the money's coming from and that it's going into operations.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for that. So I just wanted to clarify that as well, since you brought it up as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since we're talking about semantics and reserves and accumulated funds, I wanted to speak a little bit about that too. I know I brought up the whole general fund emergency reserve as a policy and just for thought, but we have, the other thing that I think is something to be clear about is, and I'll just open it up, is our water and sewer reserve. And, I think that really is a point of clarification. Because my understanding, really what we have, this is an accumulation fund. It's not a reserve. And though it may seem like semantics, for many folks and even council, when you're looking at a reserve, you think, the reserve is, that's something you don't, that's an emergency reserve. But realistically, the water reserve and sewer reserve is a capital water and sewer accumulation fund.
That's correct.
It's there to accumulate for capital projects. We're always going to be spending that accumulation fund.
I think a previous council, I don't know how far back, began to call it the reserve fund. I think, and Mrs. Slayton can correct me, but I think in terms of municipal finance terminology, it really is an accumulation fund.
Yeah, and there again, that doesn't necessarily mean we need to settle this tonight. But I think we do need to come back and address some of these. I think it'd be healthy for the community and even council to, when you first look at that, are we dealing with a reserve or are we dealing with an accumulation fund? Because I think they're, in light of a recent article about spending down our reserve, I think really it's more accurate to say we're spending our accumulation fund and that's what it's there for our capital projects. So. Like I say, I don't think that's something that we will do anything tonight, but I think it's probably a future agenda item to address that, unless you have other comments on how you'd want to proceed with addressing that, Mr. Crines.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Those are my only comments, and I think I covered some of the others. I did want to comment on the summary of all budgeted funds. I spoke with Ms. Slayton today and just asked for a little bit more clarification on the one that's in our budget. We just have revenue estimates and expenditure estimates, and I just asked for clarification if we could do operating and capital columns in there, and it looks great. It's great to see when you're looking at your revenue estimates, you can see what our operating revenues are versus our capital instead of just one entire column, and then you can clearly see your operating revenue is exceeding your expenditure, your operating column as well. So it just simplifies things. So I would
the way it was presented, it wasn't clear to what degree the city would be funding in entirety some of those items, and others, how much contribution would be coming from the chamber. So I'm just assuming that they're generating that, and that'll come back to us on the 24th, along with whatever input the subcommittee is able to develop.
Yes, I would hope so. I'd hope we'd get that level of detail on the 24th as well. That's what we were left with. I mean, if we are looking at finalizing this on the 24th, I think the questions at hand were the T-bid, the chamber. We discussed management partners, economic development, EVC membership, whether or not we want to maintain that. That was just a list of things that I had written down that we still need to close the door on as far as how we're going to proceed with the rest of the budget.
Okay, and then along those lines as well, it would seem to be important if we are going to discuss, okay, to what level are we willing to allocate funds to those programs, the reporting process and expectations from the different partners. I believe our staff has some input on how to make that more effective and transparent and helpful to the accounting side, but also then looking back at effectiveness and weighing how much we should decide next year. So I just wanted to point that out. And then the other item, too, that we have discussed some things like modest improvements, say, to the Embarcadero or downtown streetscapes and so forth, specific plan efforts, say, for Beach Street, specific planning and so forth. And it would be interesting from the staff side if there were some items there that we thought were low-hanging fruit that would really help improve our certain sections of our business districts, if there was some discussion about, well, these funds could also be utilized in a specific way to advance this need that we've talked about before. And I'd really be interested in seeing that. And I don't know, Mr. Livick, if you'd like to comment on that, but at this point, do you feel that we'd have some leeway within this budget to address some of those areas as the year goes on, or would we really, to be realistic about our effectiveness in any of those areas, need to consider that in this budget and put some in to make it happen?
I think we can make modest strides in our planning efforts within the existing budget and without reliance too much on potential grant funding, but we'd have to work with our developing partnership with Cal Poly and lean heavily on their city and regional planning grad students to help us perform some of that work. So we're continuing working on that relationship and hopefully can move that along through that relationship.
Well, I just wanted to extend the invitation to staff, or if you see that there's a need there for us to designate some funds going into it, and that would help ensure that we can take improvement steps in those areas, then I think that'd be interesting to look at on the 24th, particularly as we weigh our options for where we're going to be putting our funds.
Any other comments? I've just got a comment in addition to that. I think, it's great that we can, look at especially if we can partner with Cal Poly in regard to the general plan as one of our goals and updating that and having actually a budget item to where we have a fund that's for our general plan update. I think it would be, since it is a goal to be allocating, if we have some of those funds available to allocate some funds into that fund as well. There's a couple things on that. I think about, this has been a long going process on our general plan, and I'll just speak to some of the history on that. Missing out on some of our strategic growth council grant funds, which at the time were, I don't know if that door is completely closed, but they were some pretty generous funds available at the time. And to be competitive, I think the things I think about, one being the proposal that's going out for a general plan update right now. In other words, if we have that recipe, that menu, that blueprint, and how we develop a new or update a new general plan, it could be a recipe that says, hey, here's a partially funded, fully funded, et cetera, and basically as we present that in with our application for grant funds, I think that puts us in a much more advantageous position to receive more grant funds. So those are the things I think about as we're going through the process, in addition to, you know, even if we have something as simple as a general plan update fund and we have an account that's designated for it, you know, people that were applying for grant fund applications, you know, they're looking at that and they're saying, hey, look, these guys, they've got a program for it, they've got funds set aside, you know, we know what the process is, and that just, you know, improves our ability to receive those grant funds. So those just some thoughts there as far as allocating funds. Yeah.
So if I could just follow up, I'm assuming that we were talking about coming back on the 24th with some recommendation for the establishment of the general plan update fund and perhaps a suggestion about where funds could come from to seed that and make sure that we're establishing it.
Yeah, great.
I'm confirming that that's the case.
That's my understanding. When we left it at Thursday, we would be coming back with a general plan update fund in our budget, and we'd be able to basically have a designated fund no different than we do for general So as far as coming back on the 24th, we discussed that. We discussed and got consensus on some capital additions based on the funds that we have available. Did you capture that on those?
I have that, okay. And it sounds to me like we almost need almost a non-capital schedule. I don't know if we'll make it into this budget, but it would be something we should work towards for the future. So, you know, we talk about the buildings we're going to build and maintain, but we don't have a schedule of plans that we need to maintain in there and what years that we project that we will do that in. So, you know, we should work to, in future, if not for this budget year, for future budget years, to develop that schedule of non-capital plans that should be shown in there.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
Okay.
Do you want that as a future agenda item, or how do we give ourselves?
I think I'll work with, you know, city manager and finance, and we'll come up with maybe a just a kind of placeholder for this year, and then develop it through this next year.
That sounds great.
Okay.
It does bring me back to one thing. So our specific plans that we have that are floating out there, I think I wanted to follow up on Noah's suggestion. So when you're talking about think about specific plans, you mean think about it as far as the plan is already there and been approved, but we're not working from the plan. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, in some cases, I'm talking about implementation. In others, it's an update or the generation of a plan for an area. And I know the Planning Commission has already started to talk about those items. And I just want to make sure that we're giving ourselves the resources we need to be able to follow through and implement and develop those plans and continue that work.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so we know we're coming back on the 24th. We know we have a subcommittee meeting for economic development, the chamber, TBID, to work out some of those items, and then we'll come back with a clear proposal from them to discuss, you know, those funding items. And I think we've covered some of the lists that we did from Thursday. Is there any other items? I think we can move on from here. I think we've had some good discussion tonight. Is there any questions from staff? None? Any more questions for council? Seeing none, we can close item C2, which is our addition. There's no motion necessary for that, just a discussion item. and we can move on to future agenda items. And I have one future agenda item I would like to discuss with council for future agenda item, and that would be to prepare a staff report to provide council with the necessary steps to place the June election on the November ballot for the residents of Moore Bay to determine if they want to eliminate the two-step election process by returning back to a single election in November. The staff report would be on the June 24th City Council agenda, and I would look for support from council to for a future agenda item on that. To my right,
can I
anybody?
Ask staff if what your feelings are on being able to turn that around and be back by the 24th?
If I may, through the mayor, on the 24th, what would be before you is a simple staff report saying, here's what the mayor suggested. Do you want to do that? On July 8th, if you say yes to that, then the plan would be on July 8th, having all the documentation necessary to put the ballot item on November. In order to do that, we're going to start doing the work, not because we're sure either the 24th is going to say go forward or the 8th is going to say go forward, but we need to do the work now, because if you do want to do it, we only have the 8th, because we have to have it to the county registrar, the election official, by the 23rd of July, and you don't have a meeting between the 8th and the 23rd.
That makes sense to me, and I'll support having that discussion at the next meeting.
Anybody else?
I would support that.
George, Nancy? No? We do have three for support on that, so we can move forward on that. Okay. Any other future agenda items? Seeing none? Oh, you do? Okay.
I'd like to direct staff and the Planning Commission to review the history of the neighborhood compatibility discussion and return with recommendations to the council for ordinance language addressing neighborhood compatibility.
Some support that was driving this for this agenda items for you for that from that meeting or from other citizens, and maybe you can elaborate on that.
I guess so. It goes without saying there's been a lot of interest in a project through the Planning Commission that has inspired the discussion about the 2,500 square foot urgency ordinance that was passed a while back. Yeah. The neighborhood compatibility discussion was something that historically had a really strong amount of public input and involvement, and neither has ever really culminated in a final decision or action. So my thought would be, I heard from the planning commissioners some frustration that they feel they don't have the tools to handle the issues that are being brought forward in that discussion and by the residents. And my thought would be, let's ask them to work with us and develop a better understanding about what that could look like. And then I also am very interested to know from our planning staff how much that would cost and the amount of work that would be involved, so we can make sure we're not just adding another large burden onto an already pretty full agenda and workload.
Okay, thanks for that. I'd be in support of that. Thanks for elaborating more on that. Thank you. Yeah. Any other support for that item? Nancy, George?
I would support it. So it'll be a historical review of what we've had, because I have received emails about people saying, go back to this, go back to that, and I don't think we have enough knowledge. So that would be a strong component of what's been, I guess I would ask for just a stronger historical component of what got us to the meeting last Tuesday, Planning Commission, because a lot of the emails I received were post that meeting and pre. So I would support it.
Okay. So I'd be supportive of that. It looks like we've got support for that agenda item. Any other future agenda items? Seeing none, we can adjourn the meeting. Thank you.